A little girl ain't never smiles, cause I've got braces on my teeth. And I know how it feels to cry myself to sleep. I'm that kid on every playground, who's always chosen last. A single teenage mother trying to overcome my past. You don't have to be my friend. Is it too much to ask? Don't laugh at me. Don't call me names. Don't get your pleasure from my pain. In God's eyes, we're all.
And that's right, Don't Laugh at Me. This here is Big Dot, better known as Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, with you on another Jumbo Braille program here on the Skies Radio Network, saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear your prayer requests, prayer phrases, and any of those good things tonight. Because once again, we have Dr. Doug Quick in the house with us again tonight as we go into another Jumbo Braille program tonight. So, Sister Emily, who do we got in the house with us tonight?
Well, naturally, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and the angels, and I believe we got Brother Quick.
All right. So,
and I got his mic open.
All right. So, Emily, we're going to start with you. With your prayer requests and prayer phrases tonight?
Normally our first, naturally our, all of our first responders, no matter if they're out on the streets or nursing homes or hospitals or where have you, for my, both my mom and my stepdad, and I have a special unspoken tonight.
Okay, and of course, I have a special unspoken, and the issue of the bus yet for the ministry, of course, and so we also want to be praying for Ruth, spoken there, as Brother Quick knows the situation. And Brother Six, we want to keep him in prayer as well. And, of course, our leadership, president, etc., and, of course, our police force, that kind of thing. All right, Brother Quick, you are on.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad that I'm on. I'd rather be on than off. Amen. And it's good to hear your voice, Ken. And it's always good to be back with those who are listening to this radio program on Thursday night at 9 o'clock. And I'm just really glad to be able to be back with you. We have some prayer requests also, Ms. Quick and I, and I don't know that I'll even mention any of them right now, but just remember to pray for those requests that Brother Quick and his wife have before the Lord, because the Lord knows what they are, right down to the very fact of everything. And we're very glad for that. All right, I'm fixing to open in prayer. Is there anything else, Ken, that needs to be thrown in here first?
Nope, that's basically it. You've got my list there. Simple, but straightforward.
Amen.
Brother Quick.
Yes, ma'am.
Also be keeping me in prayer because my voice has been coming and going for about a week now.
Well, it sounds to me like it's come back now.
Yeah, but it likes to go out on me at times, too. So I wish it would just stay put and make up its mind and not be a yo-yo.
There you go. All right. All right. Is there, let me see, Miss Quick, is there anything else that I have forgotten that you and I want to pray about?
I can't think of anything.
Okay.
Right now.
She can't think of anything else right now. In other words, the Lord knows all about it, and I'm glad that the Lord knows all about it. So let's pray, and then I'm going to bring a message tonight. And my message title tonight, before I pray, is just the simple fact of teach us to pray. I've gotten off the main subject that I had of growing in God's grace, and we're just looking at the fact of prayer in every believer's life and what goes on with our praying days and praying moments. And so we'll be looking at that here in just a few moments. Our Father, thank you for this night that you've given for us to be together with Brother Ken, Miss Emily, Brother Six, and all of those other ones that are listening this night. And I would plead with you that you would just be merciful unto each one of us tonight, that you'd minister unto our hearts. And Lord, when there is a spot and you bring conviction to our hearts this night, I would plead with you this night, even as I'm preaching the Word of God this night, that if there's a time like that that comes to anybody that's listening to us this night, that they would bow their head and their heart before you, repent of their sin, and trust Christ to bring them on through. And we'll sure enough thank you for that. I'm asking that you be with Miss Emily's request tonight for the first responders, and the first responders are those that we just cannot do without in this nation or any other nation as far as that goes. And I always would plead with you every morning, every day, that you'd be with the police force all across America. And then Emily has asked for her mother and her stepdad, and she's got an unspoken request. And I know that you're going to meet these according to your own sweet and wonderful will, Lord. And Brother Ken has given an unspoken request. And we're asking that you'd be with Miss Ruth tonight. She's not able to be here with us. Asking that you just minister unto her this night and strengthen her, because we're missing her very much and really needing for her to be back here with us, and we'll sure enough appreciate that as you work your sweet will. And then Brother Kent is still asking you for a bus, and for those that are listening, he's still waiting for the Lord to show him the right way to go for this bus, and we're still praying and asking you to help him to know that also. Then I'm asking you to be Brother Six tonight. It's not often that we even hear his voice the last little bit, and we miss him a whole lot, but I know that you're working in his heart and in his life also, and we're glad for that. Now we're asking that you continue to be with our nation. Our nation is in a terrible, terrible mess. And Lord, if we don't turn and come back to you really soon, everybody that's here, every member, every citizen of the United States of America is going to pay a very, very dear price. I would plead with you that you'd help each of us to understand the importance of voting for this congressional election in November, and help each one of us to vote according to your sweet will, not what we think, but according to your sweet will. And I know that you'll change things and help us a whole lot, and we just thank you and praise you very much for that. I'm asking that you'd be with Miss Quick tonight, and I'm glad that the injection that she had in her spine a few weeks ago has helped her tremendously, and I'm just asking you just minister unto her this night and just help her to hear real good so that she can take the notes that she wants to be able to take, and we'll sure enough thank you and praise you for that. Now, be with us this night. We love you with all of our hearts. Thank you so very much for loving us. We're asking now you just minister and that you meet every need, because everyone listening has a need before you this night. And I would plead with you that you'd minister unto each one of us and help us to hear your voice and help us to respond as you speak to us. And we'll sure thank you and praise you. Now, thank you for all of your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. If you've got a Bible right handy, I want you to turn to the Gospel of Luke. It's Matthew, Mark, and Luke in the New Testament, third New Testament book. And Luke in chapter number 11 is where we will be looking at this night. I want to preach to you just for a little bit on the fact of teach us to pray. Now, for anybody that's listening, I would hope that you would not think that I'm thinking childish things, because I have been in the family of God for over 65 years, and there's still times when I don't know how to pray right. I mean, I just don't. And I know that's how it is with every other believer also. All of us that will be honest with ourselves and with those around us, we can sure enough say that. There's times when we just don't know how to pray right. Well, we're going to find out that there was some, just a couple of thousand years ago, that was having that same problem. And we're going to read just a couple of verses here in Luke chapter number 11. And I want to start at verse number 1, and I want you to listen to what the Word of God says. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, talking about Jesus, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, listen now, a disciple of the Lord Jesus who had been with him for nearly 3.5 years already, listen to what he asked Jesus. He said, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. You see, this is a disciple. He's not named here. We don't have to know any names. But he is a disciple that has been with the Lord Jesus for at least around 3 years now. And Jesus has just finished praying. That's what verse number one tells us, finishing up praying. And one of his disciples sitting there looked at him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. They'd been with Jesus. I'm sure they had heard Jesus pray many times over. I'm sure they had. And yet, now, after all this time, they still did not know how to pray. You see, they were with Jesus. Wherever Jesus went, that's where his disciples were at. And let me read a couple of verses here out of Luke chapter number 6. At verses 12 and 13, it says, And it came to pass in those days that he went up into a mountain to pray. Jesus went up into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, I'm sure his disciples had not been gone all night long. I'm sure they got there just to hear him close up on his praying. He'd been praying all night long to the Lord God. Listen to the rest of this verse. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. You see, this is just one of those times that we find that Jesus' disciples knew that he prayed. He prayed a lot. There were several times in the Word of God where we read in the New Testament, and we'll find where Jesus went up into a mountain, and he spent all night long praying unto the Father in heaven. Oh, listen. If Jesus, the darling Son of God, had that need, it sure enough would not hurt feelings for more of his children on this side right here in this time that we're living in right now. It wouldn't hurt his feelings at all if more of his youngins would spend a little more time in prayer with him. We don't have to spend all night, because I don't know that we could stay awake all night praying unto the Lord. There's been different times in my ministry that I have spent a good bit of the night in prayer. I would wake up every once in a while and find that I was still praying unto the Lord. But I spent a whole lot of time different nights because there were different needs that was confronting us, and I knew that I needed to spend some time with the Lord and get some answers from him. Oh, listen. His disciples were with him. I'm sure they had heard Jesus pray many, many times. By the way, I'm sure that they had seen Jesus' prayers get an answer. Oh, listen to me. That is beautiful music. When we pray, we spend time with the Lord, before the Lord in prayer, and an answer comes that we've been seeking from the Lord. Those are precious moments. I want you to understand that, ladies and gentlemen. The second church that we started from scratch, we didn't have a building. And we were meeting in a town hall. They let us rent that. And one afternoon, I was driving down Main Street, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Right there in front of me was an empty two-story brick building. And the Spirit of God said to me, here's a building, son. Go find out who it belongs to. And so I went back to my church people. And I told him, I says, the Lord has let me find a building. I want you to pray with me and ask the Lord to help me find out who owns it. And I found out who owned it. And so I called the gentleman, and he told me how he had had great plans for that building, but then he had some health problems hit him, and he was not going to be able to do anything more with that building, and he just wanted to sell it. And he gave me a price, and we were just a young church. And so I went back to our church family again, and I began to instruct them. I said, I want you to pray with me about this building. This is what we need to pray. We need to pray and ask the Lord to either give us the money that this gentleman wants for this building, or ask the Lord to give us that building, one way or the other. And we just started praying that way. Well, this gentleman had stayed in touch with me at different times, and he called me over to his house one day, and he says, I need to give you some different papers on that building. I said, all right. And I knew it was about time, you know, to sit down and talk to him about the money that he had asked for. And so I went there, and he was giving me this paper, and he's giving me that paper, and he's telling me about the history of this and telling me about the history of that. And right at the end, he said, okay, preacher, there's one paper I will not give you on that building. And my first thought was, oh, boy, there's strings attached to this. I must have known that. And I look at him, and I said, well, what paper is that, sir? He said, I'm not going to give you a contract paper. He says, you take that building and do what you want to with it. He says, it's yours free and clear. Oh, don't you know we were shouting around the house for a good long while on that. So then the gentleman, the Lord gave us a gentleman who had a good bit of money, and he hired some different ones to come in and do some different work there. And when they were done, there was still some floor that needed to be replaced. And one of the men of our church and I was working on that floor and had it about all done up. And so we began to advertise a certain specific date on a Sunday morning that we were going to hold our first service in that building. Well, this wealthy man that had put a good bit of money in that building for us had a son who had an office about 10 or 12 miles west of where we were at. He had a son that was a lawyer, I'm sorry. And we had had different times when we'd sit down and talk about different things. And the Wednesday before this Sunday, the telephone rang. And this young lawyer called me, and he says, preacher, I need to find something out from you. I says, all right, what do you need? He says, is it true that you're planning on holding your first service in that building this coming Sunday? I said, yes, sir, that's very true. And this lawyer, this is what he told me. He says, well, preacher, I've heard through the grapevine that if that's what you do, you will be looking out the bars of the jailhouse come Sunday night. Well, I didn't sleep for a good Wednesday night. I finally got a little bit of sleep, got up Thursday morning, went about things like I needed to do, spent all day in prayer with the Lord, and I was still convinced that that's what we needed to do. But come Thursday night, I didn't sleep real good. And the same thing Friday night. I just didn't sleep really good. I just spent a good bit of time in prayer. But come Saturday night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I was awake and I was praying and I was pleading with the Lord to give me an answer on that. And at 2 o'clock that Saturday morning, the Spirit of God said, it's all right, son. You're going to be all right. Hold your service. So we got up Sunday morning. And my wife said, well, honey, where are we going to have church today? And I said, right down at the building where I've been advertising. She said, are you sure? And I said, I'm sure. She said, well, if you're sure, I'm sure. So we went down there and had our service, our first service. And it come time for preaching. About 20 minutes after 11 that Sunday morning, I got up, began to give the different things for an introduction for the message that I was preaching. And all of a sudden, police officers walked in the door and stood back there. One leaned on this doorpost and the other one leaned on the other doorpost. And the Holy Ghost says, give them Jesus, son. And I forgot my outline and everything else. For about 20 minutes, I preached Jesus. That's all I could do, just preach Jesus to these two gentlemen that were standing back there listening to every word that I was preaching. And finally, I ran out of air, and I couldn't go no more. So finally, I said, well, gentlemen, can I ask you, what's the reason that you came in here today? And the one policeman, he just tipped his hat a little bit, and he said, well, we just came in here to find out if there's a church service going on today. And I just blurted it out. I said, well, sir, if you can't tell it's a church service by now, you're pretty dumb. That's all I can say. You just made me really dumb. And they turned and they walked out the door. Well, this wealthy man that had been putting in the money that we had been needing had been sitting there. And when these two policemen walked back out the door, all of a sudden, this gentleman come alive and he began to cry out something in German, and I don't understand German. And he chased these two cops for two city blocks. I went ahead and preached my message. About the time I was getting done, this gentleman walked back in the door and come up and sat down. And, I mean, he was wiping the sweat off of his face and everything else. And I thought, well, what in the world? So when we closed the service, he was the first one out the door, so I couldn't even say anything to him. So that afternoon, I was down there, and I was studying, preparing for the service that Sunday night. And there was a knock came on the door. And I wasn't too far away from the door, so I went to the door, and it was one of those policemen. So I opened up the door, and I stood in the doorway, and I said, can I help you, sir? And he says, listen. He says, is it true? Is that gentleman that chased us down the streets, is it true that he really lived under that Nazism, Gestapo, all that stuff over there in Germany? Is it really true? I said, it's very true. Why do you ask? He says, man, he says, for two blocks he chased us calling us Gestapo, Gestapo, Gestapo. I said, well, I would hope that you would stop and listen to him then, because that's exactly what you were doing. You were playing the part of a Gestapo. You had no business being in here and stopping this church service this morning at all. Isn't that amazing? I couldn't sleep. Couldn't sleep Wednesday night. I couldn't sleep Thursday night. I couldn't sleep Friday night. And Saturday night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, it had been 2 o'clock Sunday morning, in the morning, the Spirit of God came by and said, it's going to be all right, son. And I slept the rest of that night. Isn't that amazing? When we get an answer to a plea, God can give us such peace. I mean, he can give us such peace. And it's peace that you can never explain to anyone else. We cannot explain the peace of God that falls on our heart, on our lives. That's just a fact. You see, they had been with Jesus, had no doubt heard Jesus pray many a time, probably had seen answers come to the prayers that Jesus had prayed, these disciples. And yet here in verse number 1, when Jesus finished praying, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus said, I'm glad that you asked me. I'll be glad to do that. Look at verse number 2. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which is in heaven. Whoa. Our Father which is in heaven. What are we talking about? We're talking about a holy time spending before God. Any time that you're going to pray, Father, in Jesus' name, you're going to have to do something about the sin in your life, because you can't be in the presence of the Lord God himself with sin in your life. You can't do it. God won't allow that. Learning how to pray starts by learning about our Heavenly Father. You see, I said the title of this would be Teach Us to Pray. That's what his disciples asked him to do. Teach us to pray like John had taught his disciples to pray. And the very first words out of the Lord's mouth is this: Our Father which are in heaven. Whoa. You see, learning how to pray starts by learning about our Heavenly Father. He is our spiritual daddy. Amen. He is our spiritual father. The Holy Ghost is our spiritual mother. The Lord Jesus is our elder brother, as well as our Savior, as well as our Lord. Being saved by God's grace puts us in a brand new family. I'm telling you, a brand new family. You say, how can you call the Holy Ghost our spiritual mother? Because that's the only way that we'll ever come to know Christ as our own Lord and Savior, is for us to spend some time before God after the Spirit of God comes by and convicts us of our sin to the point where we cry out to the Lord, ask him to forgive us. And there's a birthing that takes place here, a spiritual birthing that takes place here. And that spiritual birthing takes place through our conviction given to us by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. You see, the Lord Jesus, that's my elder brother. Amen. He's my elder brother. And I'll be so glad when the Lord calls us on home. I'll be so glad to see the Lord Jesus Christ and call him my brother, because he is my brother. Amen. You see, our new family is a holy family. Let me read verse 2 all the way through. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. That's a holy family. Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit all come to us from heaven. Amen. They come to us from heaven. Learning to pray is a spiritual matter. Look at verse number 3. Jesus says, he's teaching his disciples how to pray now. Verse number 3, Jesus says, give us day by day our daily bread. What are we doing? We're learning about prayer being a spiritual matter. Give us this day, day by day, our daily bread. God will meet every need that we have ever had. But the only time that he'll meet those needs is when we will stop and humble ourselves before him, cry out to him, and tell him how sorry we are for our sin before him, plead with him to forgive us. And when he does, we're going to know that it's been forgiven. Amen and amen. That is just that simple. You see, learning to pray is a spiritual matter. It's like bringing my needs and my wants unto God himself. Give us day by day our daily bread. Not our weekly bread, not our monthly bread, just our daily bread. No business praying unto the Father and asking him for the food that we'll need tomorrow, because tomorrow may never get here for some of us. Amen. All the only right that we've got to ask the Lord for is our daily need. Our daily need. Our daily need. You see, it's a spiritual matter to learn how to pray. It's like bringing my needs and my wants unto God himself. Learning to pray is about respecting God more than anyone else that I have ever known. God has allowed for me to be taught by one of the greatest preachers of my day. Dr. Parker Daly was his name. He's home with the Lord now. He was the pastor of the Blue Ridge Baptist Temple in Kansas City, Missouri. That's exactly where God moved us from the first church that we had planted. It was an 800-mile move to Kansas City, Missouri. And that's exactly where God moved us to. And he moved us there so that Dr. Parker Daly would have a huge part training me for the days to come. Amen. You see, learning to pray is literally learning to believe God. Let me say that again. Learning to pray is literally learning to believe God. Oh, yes. Believe God for my needs? Yes, yes. But what about those improbabilities? Oh, now that's where we're supposed to believe in God also. Listen to me. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Let me read it to you. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's the Spirit of God. That's that power that we're to have right here. Let me read that verse again. Now unto him, God, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Here's the reason for living a spirit-filled life. We live a spirit-filled life, and a need comes flopping up. We can take it to the Lord, and the Lord will answer those kind of needs a whole lot faster than what we could ever do in our own time. Amen. I mean, that's a fact. That's a fact. Suppose you think it was a piece of cake for Sarah to have her first baby at the age of 90. I suppose you think that that was just a piece of cake for something like that to happen, huh? No. Abraham and Sarah both had to believe God for this birth. That's the only way that this birth could take place. That's the only way that you and I could know what it means to trust Christ as our own Lord and Savior, is because of this baby that Sarah brought into this world at the age of 90. Oh, yes. God knew what he was doing all these times, all these years. He knew what he was doing. Jesus had strong instructions for his disciples. And if you're one of his disciples, Jesus has strong instructions for you and for me also. Matthew chapter 17, listen to this. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, he's talking to his disciples, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. This mountain that Jesus is talking about here is not one of those huge rocky mountains that we know about today. Not that at all. Not that at all. This mountain that Jesus is talking to his disciples about right here is that sudden thing that hits us right between the eyes. And we have no way of how to work around it. No way to get rid of it. It takes faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. By the way, mustard seed is the smallest known seed to man yet today. And Jesus is saying to his disciples here, you couldn't throw this devil out. You couldn't do that. You couldn't bring that kind of healing to this situation. You couldn't do that because you don't have any faith. How much faith would it take? I can just about hear Peter saying. And Jesus would look at him and the other 11, and he would say, the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. Woo! How much faith you got, ladies and gentlemen? How much faith do you have? Jesus said, in another place, in Matthew chapter 21. Listen to this. He's still talking to his disciples. Yea, he put it there for you and for me. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 21 says this. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Whoa. You know that little story I told you about, that second work that we planted real early Sunday morning? The Spirit of God came by and gave me that answer that I needed. By the way, that church is still going yet to this day. Planted that church, what was it, 1983? 82 or 83. We were in that building by 1984, 1985 at the latest. And that church is still going to this day. Hallelujah. Amen. It's still going to this day. Not because of my faith. It's still going today because of the faith that God planted in those that came along and trusted Christ under that first ministry of ours there. And some of them have still stuck with it. Amen. And that church is still going yet to this day. Well, praying is a daily matter, is it not? To pray unto the Lord over our needs, that's more than a weekly matter. I know sometimes we just can't hardly get the strength up to go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and then again Sunday morning and again Sunday night. We just can't hardly get the strength up to go. Amen. I know. I'm a preacher of the Word of God, been a preacher of the gospel for 49 years. I know what it's like to pastor people when they don't really know what world's going on. I know what it's like to pastor people that don't want to act like they got any strength at all about them. I know what it's like to do that. I would still do it this day if God would give me a pastor. I would still do it yet to this day. Oh, listen, daily thing. Listen to verse number 3. Jesus is still teaching his disciples, remember? Verse number 1, it was one of his disciples who said, Lord, teach us to pray. They'd been with Jesus night and day, day and night. They'd been around when Jesus had spent all night long in prayer to the Father. And all of a sudden, one of his disciples said, teach us to pray, because they knew they didn't know how to pray like Jesus knew. Well, look at verse number 3, 11, chapter 11, verse number 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. Woo! I just told you it was a daily thing. It's an hourly thing. It's a momentous thing when you get up to start your day that you'd spend some time with the Lord. I would hope you'd do that. I do that. My wife does that. The first things that my wife and I both have to do, we have to know that we have read at least 5 chapters from the Word of God before we sit down. Isn't that amazing? We spend all that time reading the Word of God before we sit down to the first meal of the day. Why do we do that? Because we know what it's like for the Lord to come by and speak to us on a daily, every morning time. We know what it's like. Oh, yes, we do. Give us day by day. Jesus didn't say to his disciples, you need to pray and say to me, give us week by week our weekly. No, no. Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. And it's a daily thing. Give us day by day the meat and the meal that we need. Day by day, every time that we would sit down and eat yet to this day, the first thing that we do, we bow our heads and we thank the Lord for the food that we're about to partake of. That's just life. That's just how it is. When we're on the road and we have to stop someplace public to stop and eat something before we can go very much farther, Miss Quick and I both will bow our heads and pray. It make no difference what's going on around us. We're going to bow our heads and close our eyes and pray and thank the Lord for the food that we're about to eat. That's just a good, very good habit to get into as a child of God. You say, well, I can't do that. Well, if you've been born again, you can sure enough learn how to do that. Amen. Amen. You see, I'm talking to you about prayer becoming a daily matter. Is it with you? It most assuredly is with me. We plan ahead for every imaginable thing, do we not? We plan ahead for our daily shopping. Oh, yes, we do. We plan ahead for every vacation that we take. Oh, yes, we do. We plan ahead for every hunting day. Oh, you better believe I do. We plan ahead for every fishing day. Oh, I'll just say right here now, you better believe that I do that. I sure do. Physical happenings are always in our planning. What about spiritual things? Spiritual matters. Spiritual matters are always, it seems like, always, without the slightest doubt, always left until the very last minute. Ooh. Including our getting ready for the rapture of the Lord Jesus, for him to come back and take us home as the bride of Christ. You ever stop to think even today about this could be the very day that that would take place? Have you ever stopped to let that cross your mind? Every day. It doesn't matter time of the day it is. Doesn't matter what day of the week it is. Doesn't matter nothing about that. All that matters is Jesus is coming back. He's promised that. And every promise that Jesus has ever made, he has always come through with it. Amen and amen. But you see, what about your soul's need tonight, right now? How's the Spirit of God spoke to your heart tonight? You know. You don't have to stop and say, well, let me see. How's the Lord done? No. When the Spirit of God speaks to your heart and speaks to my heart, we know. We know. If we're a child of God, we know he's speaking to us. We know that. But what is the Lord saying to you right now? What is that need right now that you need to take care of right now? Before you go any further in life, what is the need you need to take care of right now? There is a need there, and you need to take care of it. You see, we'll need to answer to God now, or we'll answer to God tomorrow, because tomorrow indeed will be too late for that which we really need today. John 3:16-17, listen to this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, listen. Perhaps you've never trusted Christ to save your soul. That's a very strong possibility. I have preached, I've been in evangelism for the last 39 years, and I've preached all around this great nation of ours. I have noted when God has been speaking to hearts, I have seen those people not come to the altar. I've seen those people literally run out the door to get out of there. And as far as I know, they never did come to Christ. I never knew that they had ever come to Christ. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing. You see, one of these days, it's going to be too late. And for those of you that are sitting there tonight that have never trusted Christ to save your soul, you know the Spirit of God is dealing with you tonight about that very subject. And you can't keep putting it off. Matthew chapter 7, listen to these words. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Oh, there's that proof. There's that proof. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's that proof. If you know him, you're going to be busy about that which God has given you to do here. Let me read that verse again. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Listen to the rest of this. Many will say to me, this includes preachers. Listen to me. This includes preachers. This includes evangelists. This includes deacons. This includes Sunday school teachers. Listen to me. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, listen to these words, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I have been in meetings. When the altar call was given, I have seen preachers under such conviction. They would get up and they would go right out the front door just as fast as what they could. And they wouldn't come back. Preachers, I'm talking about preachers, I'm talking about pastors of churches, because they would not trust Christ to be their Lord and their Savior. Oh, my goodness, sakes alive. I've seen deacons that way. Hello. I've seen Sunday school teachers that way. I've seen those who come to church once in a while that way. Amen. I've seen that take place. Now, I can't see you tonight. Spirit of God can surely see you. And if you've never trusted Christ to save your soul, tonight is the night for you. Just give in and cry out to the Lord. Plead with him that he would forgive you of your sin and ask him to become your Lord and your Savior. And you know what's going to happen? That very thing will take place this night. It sure will. Our Father, thank you. Thank you so very much for this night that you've given for us to be able to preach the Word of God and just for us to be able to be here and just be able to minister unto those who have listened all this time. I would plead with you that you would minister unto their hearts. And for those that don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, I would plead with you this night, for there don't have to be anybody around, this night, that they would roll out on their knees, on their face before you, and plead with you that you would forgive them of their sin, and plead with you that you'd come and save their soul. And they'll know that that takes place. They'll know that beyond shadow of every doubt. They'll know that it takes place. That's just how God works with us. And we just thank you so much for that, Lord. Now just be with us this night. I would plead with you for your sweet will to take place in each of our lives. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Brother Ken, I'm going to turn it over to you, and we're just expecting that you come and finish this thing out for us.
All right, and first, would you give your snail mail information if anybody wishes to write you or have any questions about how to come to know the Lord?
I'll surely do that. Our snail mail address, I get going so much, Brother Ken, I'm glad that you remind me of that, because I get going so much, I just forget all about that. Our snail mail address is 1122 Church Street, and we're located here in Waycross, Georgia, 31501. I've had many that have asked me through the years, where in the world is Waycross, Georgia? And I said, well, it's way across Georgia. When you get way across Georgia, you'll probably find Waycross right there. that it's the name of a town, capital WAYCROSS, just one word, Georgia, 31501. And I'll sure be glad that somebody will just drop me a note, let me know how it is in your own life and how it is that you've come to know Christ as your own personal Savior. Thank you, Brother Ken.
You're welcome. And as well, if any of you wish to use email to contact him, you can contact me through my email address at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch it like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, King like the guy who sits on the throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write comment or question for Brother Quick. And then just put in your body of your email your question, comment, prayer, praise, or request for Brother Quick. And then what I'll do is print that off, mail it to Brother Quick. And then when he remails his reply to you, I will get it back to you via email ASAP. And then also, if you wish to keep programs like this one on the air, there are several methods of which you can do. First off, for you PayPal users, go to paypal.com and enter the email address 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. For you Cash App users, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and we here at Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you use Six's email address, 6i6@gmail.com, just put in your subject line, donation information requested, and then in the body of your email, explaining that you wish to send a check or money order, he can send you back the information that you're requesting as far as snail mail and pay to information as to where you can send your check or money order. And once again, God will richly bless you. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. Finally, if you wish to get this program or any other program of the Six Eyes Radio Network on your smartphone or tablet, you could go into the podcast section of your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit, and then you spell radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Click enter, and then you click subscribe, and you'll have us on demand. You could be listening to Brother Quick on a Monday. And if you are an Apple or Android user, you'll want to download the iHeartRadio app, iHeartRadio, and then once you've downloaded that, you go into iHeartRadio and do the same procedure of entering Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, and after you've entered that, you'll have us pop up and then click subscribe, and you'll have Six Eyes Radio on your device. You can also go to blogtalkradio.com/sixeyes. That's blogtalkradio.com/sixeyes. And you can go to that page as well and get all of our programming. We're also on Apple iTunes, Stitcher, and other platforms. You could check that out by going to Google, typing in Six Eyes Radio. Finally, Emily, do we have any new listeners that may have any questions or comments?
Yeah, we got Sister Lila. I'll get your mic open in a minute, sweetie.
All right. That way she's got any prayer requests or praises that she wishes to pass along to Brother Quick before he closes in prayer, we'll get that taken care of.
Your mic is open, Lila.
Hey, Richard Wolfgang. Hey, Sister Lila. Hey, Brother Quick.
Hey, sis. How you doing?
How are you guys doing tonight? I do have some prayer requests for you guys to pray about. Pray for me, especially at this time of the year with the anxiety that I have, the heat, especially for everybody here at the facility, the lack of fans going around for the people here at the facility, since we do not have enough funding for ourselves. Before I go and buy them, just pray that everybody could just get through the heat themselves and that we all could get along as well. And those are the only prayer requests I have.
Okay.
Unspoken.
And a special unspoken. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Brother Quick, if you want to put that into your prayer request as you close in prayer, we'll be grateful and want to remind everybody to join us tomorrow for AJ in the Slot at 9 p.m. All right, Brother Quick, the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you, Brother Ken. Let's pray and close in prayer this in these moments right now. Our Father, thank you so much for being with us this night. And thank you for your blessed spirit doing a work in hearts all across this land. And we're just so grateful because you've used us again this night. My Father, I'm asking that you'd be with Miss Lila. I couldn't understand everything that she was saying, but I think one of the things that she was talking about was her health and different things like that. And then she has an unspoken, and it's an unspoken before us, but it's not an unspoken before you, Lord, because you know everything there is about every unspoken request. Emily had an unspoken request, and Brother Ken has an unspoken request, and Miss Quick and I both have unspoken requests. But, Lord, it's not unspoken to you because you know precisely what it is. And as I ask you to take care of Emily's and Brother Ken's earlier, I would ask that you take care of Miss Lila's unspoken also, because you know exactly what she needs. You know exactly how to take care of it. You know exactly how to meet every need that she has. And it's just good to hear her voice. I've heard her in the past. She's been almost like she's been there every moment when we've been on, and it's just been good to hear her voice again this night. I'm asking that you'd be with Ken, asking you'd be with Miss Ruth, you'd be with Emily and Miss Lila, and I would ask that you would be with Brother Six and just keep your hand upon him and help him to know that we're praying for him every day. And we're just so glad to be an American citizen. So glad that our parents were born here. So glad that we were born here. My dad was an American citizen. My mother was an American citizen. My dad's dad was an American citizen. My mother's dad was an American citizen. And I'm just glad for that citizenship that you have given to me through my family like this. But I'm also glad for the citizenship that you've given to me for that night that I trusted Christ to be my Lord and my Savior. And from that instant until now, I've been a citizen of heaven, and I'm glad for that. So, Lord, just meet our needs according to your sweet will this night. Thank you so much for this privilege of being able to preach on this radio. I'm asking that you'd continue to meet the needs of this radio, and that you just touch the hearts of people that know about it and help them to minister onto Brother Six Eyes and the needs of this radio station. And we'll certainly thank you and praise you for all that you do. Now just be with us this night now. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.